Hello, and welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal, and welcome to episode 12. If you are a returning listener, thanks so much for coming back. And if you're a new listener, well, I'm so glad we're vibrating on the same frequency today. I have a little bit of a life update because, as you guys know, this whole entire podcast, I've sort of classified myself as a student, like a student of astrology, a student of tarot. I wanted to give a student's perspective on all the shit I like witchcraft, tarot, astrology, all that stuff. And I still consider myself a student. But oddly enough, through some string of fate, I have graduated into a sort of more professional tarot reader role. And this is really interesting. I thought I'd just share the story because it's kind of funny. And also, it just proves the universe has your back. Because I was sort of feeling really, really lost when I came back from Malaysia. You know, being back home in Chicago, not knowing my way, and sort of just having this thing happen. it really proves that, you know, your spirit guides have you guys. If you're worried about it, don't worry. They got your back. But I was actually at home, was looking for some like witchcraft store that sells candles. You know, right now I'm getting into color magic, and that's something I do want to talk about in a different episode, but I feel very connected to the color yellow right now. And maybe it's because, you know, the card I pulled for my overall energy of 2019 is the Fool card, which I'm really excited about. I'm really excited to be in the Fool next year in 2019, especially because in 2018, my numerology, I've been working with the Hermit card, and then my pull for the year was, I was working with the Hierophant card, and then my overall pull for the year was the Hermit. So, you know, I've been really hermity in 2018. I've been really in myself, with alone, all by myself, with a lantern and going deep inside of myself and having a painful spiritual awakening. And that's really been my 2018. Although 2018 has been a year that's been really awesome, and I got to see like 10 different countries, and it was amazing. But nevertheless, I am really excited for 2019, being in that Fool energy, connecting to the color yellow. And long story short, I was on a wild hunt for a yellow candle. And I know I probably could have just gone to like whatever, like a craft store, like Michael's or Joann Fabrics or something, and gotten a candle. But I was like, you know what, let's see what kind of witch shops are, you know, around my area. I didn't actually think there were any. And there used to be sort of a metaphysical shop close by to me that I used to go in when I was little, and I would used to like beg my grandma, when my grandma would babysit me when I was little, we would, you know, walk around our little downtown area, and we would go in the shops, and I would always make her bring me into this metaphysical shop, and I wouldn't really even know what I was looking at. Like I would look at the incense and the crystals and the cards, and but I wouldn't know what any of it was. I just wanted to go in there. But that shop has closed. And I was just kind of Googling, you know, looking for a shop, and I land on a shop. I look at the Google images, and it looks really clean and bright and happy. And I'm like, they have candles, they have magic candles, and they have crystals and all that jazz. It's a metaphysical healing shop. And I was like, okay, this looks great. I'm going to go there. You know, actually, this may be an unpopular opinion, but you know, when I walk into a metaphysical shop or a witch shop or a spiritual shop, or I don't really want to feel like I'm walking into like Satan's bedroom. And maybe some of you guys do, like maybe you're into that and that's totally cool. Like, but I just don't want it. I don't like perpetuating the idea that witchcraft is scary, that tarot is spooky, that like, this shit I do is, like, Halloween or something. Like, I don't love that. So, like, I really appreciated, at least what I saw on the Google images search, that the shop looked clean and bright and it looked welcoming and just sort of, like, had good energy. And I ended up, it's only, it's only, like, 10 minutes away from my house, and I drove there and I walk in, and these candles that they have there, they're, like, so powerful. I, like, feel dizzy standing in front of the candles, and I'm, you know, looking for a yellow one, and I end up buying a yellow candle that is actually a Gemini energy in it. And I thought, oh, great, this is great. This is going to help me sort of come into my full kind of energy, and also according to my numerology, my card of the year next year is the Lovers, and Gemini and the Lovers are ruled in the tarot. So I was like, oh, this candle's perfect. It's yellow. It's gonna help me, you know, be in the Fool and be in the Lovers. And I ended up talking to my now boss about tarot cards, and I told her that, you know, I've been trying to find a spiritual mentor for a while. You know, we just started talking. I said, I'm sort of a tarot card student, but I'm at the point where I'm reading for people and they're really getting stuff out of it, and I feel like I really want to start getting paid for this. And I was just sort of really asking her for any advice that she had, and I didn't even know they actually had tarot readers at this shop. But then she kind of replied, and she was like, well, okay, yeah, no, do you have your cards right now? Do you want to read for me? And the funny part is, I did have my cards with me. Like, I had a feeling that I needed to bring my cards with me. And I usually don't bring them, like, you know, in public. Like, if I'm going to the grocery store, I'm not going to bring my cards, right? But I had them with me in my backpack. And I started reading her cards. And by, you know, half an hour later, I walked out of the shop and I was hired. And I was hired as a tarot reader. And now, it's funny, I told my friend this story, and she asked me, she was like, Mallory, how did you manifest that? And I think that's such a cool but odd question, because I did manifest that in some way, but I actually didn't necessarily ask my guides or the universe. I didn't necessarily ask them, you know, for a job as a professional tarot reader at a metaphysical shop. Like, my order wasn't that specific. I would say around 6 months ago, when I was really in, like, the darkness of sort of a spiritual dark night of the soul, whatever you want to call it, I started asking the universe, please give me a spiritual mentor. I really need a spiritual mentor. I really need, you know, someone to guide me. And honestly, I really think that's what I manifested in this job, because now, you know, being at a healing shop with, you know, people who are Reiki masters, people who are much more experienced than me in tarot, in reading runes, in just mediumship, anything like that. Like, in a sense, now I'm in a shop and I have like 10 new spiritual teachers, and I got what I asked for. And that's sort of, it's sort of a lesson to sort of, when you're putting in your order to the universe and you're telling the universe, like, what you want, like, you know, leave it broad enough, because I would have never actually asked, like, please give me, you know, 5 different spiritual mentors that I'm going to work with that are going to teach me different things, and we're all going to work together in this business of this healing shop. I wouldn't have actually ever asked for that. But now that I have it, it's like, really, I'm just like so grateful to be working in this shop, and especially at a shop that, how do I say this lightly, because I don't want to offend anybody, especially if you work at a metaphysical shop, if you own a metaphysical shop, but, you know, just my short time spent working at a metaphysical shop doing a small amount of readings for the public, I mean, people, that's what I kind of want to talk about today when I titled the episode, like, what is a psychic? Like, people do have the wrong idea of what a psychic is. And that's kind of what I want to sort of enlighten today. Like, what really is a psychic? Do I call myself a psychic? No. I actually don't love the word psychic. I definitely see myself as intuitive, but I also deeply, deeply, deeply believe that everybody on this planet has the same quote-unquote power as me. It's just a process of developing it. And through things like spooky witch shops and Halloween and shit like that, we've been conditioned to be afraid of spirituality and intuition, which is something I've talked about multiple times. And if you're on track with my book club episodes in Women Who Run With The Wolves, the book club that I'm running on this podcast, we're talking a lot about developing our intuition and how society and societal norms have sort of taught us to not trust our intuition and go against our intuition. So really, when we're talking about what is a psychic, this is someone who is in tune with what their intuition is telling them. And that's a really simple way to put it. And I don't mean to offend anybody who really, really identifies with the word psychic. But really, when it comes down to it, I think it's just about following our intuition. And we all have that power. And that's what's so special. And I feel like as a professional tarot reader, what I'm sort of learning is that it brings me great joy to show people that tarot is not scary. And it also brings me great joy to show people that they can do it themselves, you know, like to really teach people to do tarot for themselves, for personal growth, for self-transformation, not to do tarot in a way that actually cheapens it. I think that's kind of the issue we have in the astrological community, in the witchcraft community, in the tarot reader community, all spiritual communities. We have an issue where, because it's trendy, people are cheapening the art or the science or whatnot. And maybe I'm perpetuating this in a sense too, because I'm getting on this podcast talking about spirituality, and it's not like I have a million years of experience, and I'm talking about astrology. Even though I've studied it myself since I was 12, I'm not a professional astrologer, and I'm talking about astrology. You know, I guess now I can call myself a professional tarot reader, but I in no means have as much experience as other tarot readers. So it's sort of like, what right do I have to talk about this? But at the end of the day, what am I trying to say? I'm saying that, you know, it brings me great joy to, you know, like I said, sort of show people that they can do what I do. I want people to know that they can follow their intuition. I want more people to take an interest in tarot and use tarot for their self-care and their self-transformation, or whatever method of divination you feel called to. It could be runes, it could be a pendulum, it could be, you know, maybe you want to go into more learning about Reiki and chakra balancing. Maybe you just want to learn yoga. That's actually something else I'm embarking on right now. I just joined a yoga studio, and I'm trying to develop a more regimented yoga practice. So whenever it comes down to it, I kind of wanted to talk about that. The word psychic, what does it actually mean? And do I see myself as a psychic? Not necessarily, but maybe. Like I said, I prefer the word intuitive. And what should you expect? Because when you're going to a psychic or an intuitive, like, what should you ask for? What's the deal? Is it scary to go to one of these people? I was inspired to talk about this because, you know, I kind of did a self-initiation at the shop I'm working at now. And we have different people who read mostly runes, actually, the runic alphabet. We have some really talented rune readers where I work. And there's also one other tarot reader who's also a medium. And in going to each of these readers, I learned so much about what it means to be a genuinely, like, just a good reader. You know what I mean? Because there's no secret that tarot readings and psychic readings can go horribly wrong, and they can sort of, like, you know, that's what I'm here to say. Like, I think if you're in a psychic reading or you're seeking out a tarot reading, this could be in person, this could be online, I guess I'm just telling you that, you know, you shouldn't ever do something that you have a bad feeling about. You know, you shouldn't let someone, you know, make you feel like you have bad energy. You should never make or let someone make you feel like, you know, you need healing and you need to spend money on this, you know, candle from wherever, and it's like, you know, $400, and they have to get the ingredients from, you know, some distant island and off the coast of whatever. And, you know, be careful, because, you know, the spiritual community is like every other community out there. Like, there's corruptness and there's people who are just trying to sell you stuff, and that makes me sad, because after my experience with, like, having readings from each one of these intuitives and each one of these psychics, like, they empowered me so much to go into 2019, like, feeling like I have all the tools and feeling like I'm just empowered, I guess. And that's really what a psychic reading should leave you feeling. It should never leave you feeling like, oh, well, fuck, I gotta come back to this lady like every week now because she's telling me I have the devil attached to me. You know what I mean? Like, it should never be like that. Like, I, like, really, you know, after you get your tarot cards read, after you get your runes read, after you get Reiki, whatever it may be, if you're talking to a medium, if you're having a past life regression, this should leave you with things to work on. Okay, with things to work on, the reader should point out stuff that is maybe going awry in your life, maybe stuff that you need to work on, issues that, you know, things that you might need to focus on now. It shouldn't be so happy-go-lucky, you're awesome, you have nothing to do in this life. Like, it shouldn't be like that, but, you know, it should be like a good balance of, like, addressing your problems, but also getting clarity on some things in your life, and really just alleviating a weight of, you know, if you're feeling lost, you know, alleviating that weight that you're on the right path. In general, psychic reading should leave you with this sense of optimism that you can go about your life now. And honestly, a good reading will probably leave you with a sense that you won't need another one for a while. A good reading will actually leave you with the feeling that, wow, I have shit to work on. Now I'm going to get to work. I feel good about the work I'm doing. I feel like I can do it. I have new confidence. I'm going to start putting things into motion. And maybe in like 6 months or so, I'll come back and get another reading and see how I'm doing. But for now, I really feel empowered to go about my life in a different way. And that's really kind of all I have to say. But I think, and I won't really go in depth. I thought about going in depth to like I think I had a total of like 5 or 6 readings with all the different readers in the shop I'm working at now. And, you know, they all gave me like a different special gift that, like, of clarity that I can use now going forth. But, and I thought about going in depth and giving you guys details, especially from, my time spent with the medium at my shop and, you know, what she told me and how she kind of confirmed stuff that I already knew about, like, my soul's journey and about my ancestors and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe that's for a different episode. Maybe we'll do an episode about ancestral healing and sort of how a medium sort of helped me, you know, do some ancestral healing and sort of be on the own journey of my own life instead of just, you know, being down in the dumps of my, you know, ancestral patterns or whatnot. But that's kind of what I wanted to say. And I would like to encourage you. I mean, this isn't like promoting my own business because, like, I doubt many of you would even live by me. But I mean, if you live Chicagoland area, hit me up if you do want a reading from me. But I'm really not at that point where I'm like doing an online business yet. I'm still getting in the gist of things, like learning to be, I'm graduating from baby tarot reader to professional tarot reader. One day that is something I'm going to put out there. Definitely in 2019, I'm going to put it out there. But for now, I just want to encourage you guys to, you know, if you feel like you need that refresher in your life right now, seek out any reader. Doesn't have to be me. Seek out any reader that you feel drawn to. Get a tarot reading. Clear up some stuff that's bothering you. Clear up those old patterns. Get some advice. Get some good advice about how we can break certain cycles in our lives. And really, like, make 2019 really transformative for you. Like I said, go with your intuition. You know, like, when you're finding a psychic reader, an intuitive reader that you want to work with, read their reviews, check out their Instagram, check out whatever it may be. Maybe if they have a YouTube channel, see if you get a good vibe. Don't be afraid to ask some questions before the reading about their reading style. But I just want to encourage everybody, because I just got so much out of the psychic readings I've had in the past month, and I do feel like a genuine shift, you know, in my life. So, oh, guys, okay, I just rambled on for way too long, but let's take a quick break, and then we're gonna dive into Capricorn season. I'm excited. So let's move into talking about Capricorn season, and let's actually really get down deep and ask ourselves, like, what really is Capricorn energy? And a few days ago, I actually decided to write down and reflect on the different seasons of the zodiac in 2018. And I sort of was remembering what exactly happened to me during each season and how I felt, what things came up. Was I feeling good, or was I feeling down in the dumps during certain seasons? And I think it's actually a really good practice to do throughout your year as a sort of like data collection on the different seasons and how you felt during, you know, this season or that season, because it would be interesting, at least for me, as I keep collecting this data, to see if, like, for 5 years straight, I felt like on top of the world during Leo season, but I had a mental breakdown every Cancer season. So, like, that's kind of what I was doing. And that's just an idea for you if you're trying to get more in tune with the zodiac and actually living through the zodiac energies versus just studying them or just learning some facts about them. It's like a good way to actually take notes on how you and your body and your own astrology actually reacts to the certain energies that are going on in the sky. So it's just a little tip for any astrologer students like me out there. But anyways, technically our last Capricorn season was actually at the end of December 2017 and the beginning of January 18, right? Yes. And here's what I wrote about how Capricorn season made me feel last year. And of course, this is a metaphor. Don't take it seriously. But here's actually like what I wrote. I said, I felt like every single day someone sat me down with a textbook about swimming. I was reading all about how to swim every single day, and it was so boring, but I got the information that I needed. Every single day I would ask my teacher to please take me to the lake and let me swim for real. The teacher always refused, and I started to believe that I was never actually going to get to swim in real water. I got comfortable with just reading the textbook on swimming and stopped asking my teacher to take me to the lake. Then one day my teacher said, "Today you will swim at the lake." And I said, "Please no, I'm not ready. I haven't read enough about swimming and I'm terrified." But my teacher didn't really give me a choice. I found myself stripped naked on the edge of a pier, being pushed off into deep cold waters and having to put into action everything that I learned about swimming in the textbook. I wasn't ready. I was uncomfortable. I was freezing cold, and yet I managed to stay afloat. So that's kind of how I felt last year during Capricorn season. And I know that's sort of like a grandiose metaphor, and some of you are like, what the fuck? But last year at this time during Capricorn season, I was actually about to get on a plane. If you're a first-time listener, I actually left January 1st, 2018 to go to Malaysia for 10 months to teach English. And I had never been to Malaysia before, and I had never even been to Asia, and I was really terrified. And in a sense, I did feel like I was sort of learning to swim from a textbook. Like, I was reading about Malaysia in different books, and I was studying the Malaysian language, and I was sort of getting all my knowledge about Malaysia and teaching English and the students there and everything, but I didn't actually, like, experience what it was like to swim, quote unquote, until I actually stepped off the plane. And I actually think that's sort of what Capricorn season sets us up for, because remember, Capricorn season always comes about at the end of a year or an end of a cycle and the beginning of a new cycle. So at the end of every cycle, we're sort of asked to reassess what exactly we've been learning in this cycle, and are we actually ready to put it into action? So if you kind of are feeling like you're stripped naked and standing over a pier of deep, dark waters, and you're like not knowing what to do, and you feel terrified to just jump, I think Capricorn season can have us feeling like that a lot. And in this Capricorn season in particular, maybe because it's because Saturn is in Capricorn now and Saturn is Capricorn's ruler, we'll talk about that more. I think learning this lesson and completing this current cycle that we're in and starting a new cycle is sort of even more terrifying than it usually is. which, like, I didn't know there was anything more terrifying than when I managed to push myself into leaving my home and going to Malaysia for 10 months. But now that I'm back, I feel like the same way, and I feel like terrified for the next cycle. And even though I faced so many of my fears in 2018, I'm still yet again faced with more fears. So we're really never finished with conquering our fears, and I think that's a lot about what the Capricorn energy is giving us. And also this year in particular, I'm actually being faced with starting to walk on a more spiritual path and beginning my journey as a healer, quote unquote, or whatever you want to call me. And I'm not exactly sure yet what that means for me, but I'm going to have to figure it out shortly, because I think Saturn is about to push us all into a freezing cold lake, especially on January 1st, right? Do you feel me? Do you read me? I hope you guys do. I hope you're relating. But let's actually get into the actual facts about Capricorn. What does it mean to be in Capricorn energy? What is the sign of Capricorn? So first off, Capricorn is a feminine cardinal earth sign. The other earth signs, of course, are Virgo, and then we have Taurus, and Capricorn sits with them in the earth sign group. The body part that rules Capricorn are the knees, the joints, and the bones. The ruling planet, as I stated before, is Saturn. And interestingly, the opposite sign of Capricorn is Cancer, and we'll talk about that dichotomy in a moment. The tarot card that represents Capricorn is the Devil card, and the animal is the goat. So now, when I was thinking about this episode, here's what I sort of find interesting, but also a bit perplexing about the sign of Capricorn. Because if we break the zodiac up by quadrants, like the first three signs are Aries, Taurus, Gemini, so I feel like that makes sense together, right? Like, I can see how Aries, Taurus, and Gemini have things in common. And then phase two of the zodiac, if we're going in order, then we have Cancer, Leo, Virgo. Again, that combo makes sense to me. I can see how they all bleed together. And then, of course, things start to get super intense when we move into the third phase of the zodiac, Libra, Scorpio, Sagittarius. That's intense energy, but it still makes sense. But then, okay, here we go. We finally arrived to the fourth and last section of the zodiac, the last section of the year, the zodiacal year, which is Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. And I can see how Pisces and Aquarius are sort of like two peas in a pod. But then as I'm like thinking more about Capricorn energy, I'm just like, huh? Like what? Like, how does Capricorn actually fit in with Aquarius and Pisces? Like, what do these three players actually have to do in the grand scheme of all 12 signs? And I think when we're talking about Capricorn, it's easy to overlook the fact that they are in the last quadrant of the zodiac. And, you know, yes, they are the CEOs of the zodiac, and they're super good at business and making money and la 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 manifestation. But the real question is, you know, how does Capricorn really relate to its two other homies, which are Aquarius and Pisces? And I started to meditate and starting to think about how to answer my own question here. You know, how does Capricorn fit into the last quadrant of the zodiac? And I actually started to think purely about the astrological houses. If you're unfamiliar with what the astrological houses are, please refer to my episode that I made all about the astrological houses. I take us through all 12 astrological houses, and some astrologers may disagree, but in my eyes, each astrological house also relates to a certain zodiac sign. And in my eyes, not saying I'm right, not saying I'm wrong, this is just how I see astrology. Capricorn rules the 10th house, which is the house of career. But the thing is, I feel like the 10th house is not only about your career necessarily, but it's about sort of how other people view you, how other people view your success in the world, how other people perceive your reputation, and also how you move about the human realm. And I was reading also, which I thought was interesting, I was reading that the 10th house is actually known to be like the strongest house in the zodiac. Because if you were, this gets a little complicated, so hold with me, but if you were born between like around 11 a.m. ish, noonish, around that time, that midday, you most likely have your sun located in your 10th house. And the 10th house represents a very strong point in the day because it's when the sun is the brightest. Do you feel me? Do you read me? I hope so. So in reality, when we sort of peel back the layers of the 10th house and also what Capricorn actually means, both of these subjects aren't just talking about career and making money. They're also talking about a soul having a human experience. And that's really what I got from meditating on what Capricorn actually means. That's really my conclusion. Capricorn is the soul having a human experience. And that's actually where Capricorn fits in with Aquarius and Pisces, because with Pisces, you know, we're sort of delving into the mysteries of the soul itself, right? Like Pisces, we're ruled by Neptune, we're the rulers of the 12th house. Like, this is all about that deep soul spirituality stuff. With Aquarius, we're sort of more questioning the soul on a universal scale, right? And with Capricorn, we're talking about the soul existing in the human realm, right? And I think this is why we find so many Capricorns or people with heavy Capricorn placements, they're doing this healing work. A lot of Capricorns are healers, are astrologers. People like to say that all Pisces and Scorpios end up like being psychics and mediums and intuitives, which is true. I know quite a few Pisces and Scorpios that are intuitive people, but we also forget about the Capricorns. I feel like Capricorns are also like conditioned from just their sign to be interested in spirituality and what it means to have a soul. Even if a Capricorn is an atheist, there is still sort of a fascination with the soul and the spirituality and the spiritual realm. Like, I'm having a flashback of in college, I studied one semester at the University of Edinburgh in Scotland, and I actually took a class. Oh God, what was it called? It was called like the other world. It was called the supernatural world. And we talked about like fairies, and we talked about folklore, and we just talked about a bunch of occult stuff. We didn't actually talk about astrology, I don't think. I don't think we talked about tarot cards, but we also talked about the history of like the evil eye, and it was all this shit that I was really interested in. You would have thought I had my spiritual awakening then, but I didn't. And at that time, I was still afraid of like my power. So, but anyways, my point being is the teacher of that class he was a Capricorn, and although he did not really believe in anything that he taught, he was extremely critical of people who believed in astrology and all that stuff, yet he was still very fascinated by it. So that's kind of my point. Like, even if Capricorns aren't necessarily, like, don't consider themselves spiritual, they still are fascinated, I think, by this sort of spiritual talk. And yes, that's why I feel like we find so many Capricorns also in the healing world, being healers, being astrologers, being tarot readers, so on and so forth. They have an inherent understanding of human struggle and human experience, because that's what their sign envelops. It is the human experience. And it's funny because this morning my yoga teacher, she said something very Capricorn, very Saturnian, right? And she said, to be a human is to struggle, and to be a human is to be unhappy, and to be a human is to learn hard lessons. And that sounds really pessimistic, but honestly, Capricorns are pessimists. Capricorns are Saturnian by nature. And I think that's what Capricorns are actually, why they are here. They're here to remind us that at the end of the day, we're sort of animals. We have this meat suit that we have to wear and we have to deal with, and this sort of a vehicle of the soul, aka the human body. And being in the human body is difficult very often. And I think that's why Capricorn season is actually so hard for a lot of us, including me. Granted, I went to yoga. I was like pissed off, anxious, sad. I was like, felt like I was going to cry in yoga. I still went though. But that's really the overall feeling that Capricorn season typically gives me. And that's because Capricorn season comes at a very raw time. We're transitioning from the end of one year to the beginning of the next, and it's not always rainbows and butterflies for a lot of people. Most of us right now, we're facing what we did accomplish, what we didn't accomplish, how we changed, how we didn't change. When we're setting New Year's resolutions, we actually have to look at ourselves straight in the eye, and we have to acknowledge that there are things we want to change about ourselves. And that's really hard for a lot of people. And I think that's why New Year's resolutions often don't actually work. Because in order for a New Year's resolution to work, we actually have to change fundamental parts of ourselves to form the habits we want to form. And that's really difficult. Now, Capricorn speaks to that difficulty. And I thought it was funny because when I was like thinking about this, I was thinking about the poet John Berryman. And he was actually a Scorpio, but he wrote a very Capricorn piece of work called The Dream Songs. And it's just sort of, I'll read you guys a little short excerpt from The Dream Songs. And this is a really famous part of The Dream Songs, if not the most famous part. Maybe you've heard it read before, but I feel as though, you know, John Berryman, he's sort of able to capture this human in a soul in a human body kind of experience, this Capricorn energy, this Saturnian energy. So here's what Berryman says in this poem. I think you guys will like it. He says, "Life, friends, is boring. We must not say so. After all, the sky flashes, the great sea yearns. We ourselves flash and yearn. And moreover, my mother told me as a boy repeatedly, ever to confess you're bored means you have no inner resources. I conclude now that I have no inner resources because I am heavy bored. People bore me. Literature bores me, especially great literature. Henry bores me with his plights and gripes as bad as Achilles, who loves people and valiant art, which bores me. And the tranquil hills and gin look like a drag, and somehow a dog has taken itself and its tail considerably away into mountains or sea or sky, leaving behind me, wag." And I just love that poem. I always love that beginning line, "Life, friends, is boring," because life is fucking boring. And I love how Berryman says that, you know, literature bores him, people bore him, even great literature bores him. He's bored with what's going on in his mind. And granted, Berryman did kill himself. I think he threw himself over the Ohio River Bridge. He was just another one of those poets who committed suicide, like, you know, Sylvia Plath and the million other poets who did take their own lives. But here's the thing, this poem has such a Saturnian energy about it because it's talking about what it means to be human. And there's just, I feel like movies and TV and books, and we have such an idealized version of what it means to be human in our minds. But really, when it comes down to it, when we are living through humanity, sometimes that does get boring. And I think at the end of the day, we have a billion different problems that are unique to ourselves, but it's really all the same thing, right? There are only two emotions, love and fear. And I think that that's really what the poem is kind of talking about, how we all could have a million different problems, but at the end of the day, we're all bored. We're all bored and we're all struggling, and we're all struggling with self-hatred, self-doubt. We're struggling with people pleasing, we're struggling with loving ourselves and all that jazz. But okay, that's the perfect transition, because here we go. I'm going to discuss the devil card in the tarot, which is represented by Capricorn. And if you're looking at a Rider-Waite deck, for those of you who are not familiar, I always say this in podcasts, but if you aren't interested in tarot, if you don't read tarot, you don't even know what tarot is, don't worry about it. You can still get something about what I'm saying. You can still apply what I'm saying to your life, so don't click off yet. But the Rider-Waite deck, if we're looking at the devil card, some of us are aware that, you know, on the card, you'll see the devil, obviously, which is the creature that has the goat horns and the hooves. And then you also see the naked man and the naked woman from the lover's card, right? We sort of have a repetition from the lover's card, which I've always felt extremely significant, obviously. And also, I think in the tarot, the cards to me that are the most alike are the lover's card and the devil card. And maybe that is rather pessimistic of me to say, but I just simply do not read the lover's card like, oh, you're gonna fall in love. Like, I've never read the lover's card like that. Also, granted, I don't read the devil card as you have an addiction, but I'll talk about that in a second. Okay, so then the naked man and woman pictured in the card, they have chains around their neck. But as has been pointed out before, the chains around their necks are sort of not tight enough to actually imprison them. And if you like kind of look at it, it sort of looks like they just have a loose rope around their neck. Like, they could easily reach down if they wanted to escape and take the chain away from their necks. They're just choosing not to, right? But also the card itself questions, like, why is that? Why are these two, this man and the woman, why aren't they removing the chain from their neck and escaping the devil energy? Well, first of all, I think, like I said, many people see the devil card and think of a very traditional interpretation, which is that the devil card is about addiction. And I'm not saying it's not about addiction. Like, could this card come up if you have an addiction? I mean, yeah, sure, absolutely. And it doesn't even have to be an addiction like drugs or alcohol or sex. It could be something like you have an addiction to a thought pattern, or you have an addiction to certain bad behavior that actually, like, doesn't do you any good. Like, maybe you have an addiction to coming home from work every day and, like, watching like 5 seasons of Game of Thrones and you really want to learn how to use your time more wisely, but you sort of have this addiction, you don't know how to break it. So when it comes down to it, I feel like the devil card is actually about more than just addiction. It's about actually being human. and being bored, like the poem said, struggling, having anxiety, sadness, experiencing unhappiness. And also the card is sort of questioning, asking us to question, how do we deal with these very human experiences? Because at the end of the day, I think our human cycles are inevitable. Again, this is what Capricorn season is talking about. And I actually wrote this line in my own poem. I said, humans wax and wane like the moon. And this isn't sort of to make anybody feel hopeless about their own mental health patterns. Like, I don't mean to be like saying that, you know, you're never gonna, your depression or your anxiety is never gonna end. I'm not saying that at all. But as humans, I think we naturally go through cycles, and we go through anxiety and depression, and we go through sadness, and we also go through happiness. And we also go through times when we're struggling to find meaning in our lives, and we're struggling to realize why we matter, and we're struggling to find our unique mission in the world. And, you know, it's not to say that if you do struggle with mental health, you shouldn't take medication and you shouldn't go see a therapist or do things to make you feel better. I'm not saying that at all. But I think, you know, these cycles are inevitable. And I think that the biggest lie that, you know, the gurus and the healers, quote unquote, tell us is that, you know, we should be aiming for a state of living or a state of being where we are, you know, no longer suffering. And I think that's a huge lie. And the lie that, you know, it's possible for a human to reach sort of a state of mind where they're completely free of suffering, that's always been such bullshit to me. And I just don't think, as a human, I don't think there's ever going to be a time where we reach a state where we're 100% at peace with ourselves and 100% happy and 100% in our own self-love. And maybe I'm just being a pessimist because it's Capricorn season. But like, at the end of the day, I don't care how much yoga you do, how good at meditating you are every day. I don't care how many crystals you have. I don't care how many essential oils you have, or whatever. At the end of the day, humans are, you know, like the waxing and the waning moon. We have cycles. Our cycles are inevitable. And, you know, how we choose to deal with our cycles, that's actually 100% our choice, right? And when it comes to unhappiness and sadness and all that a human could experience in our life, you know, we choose to fight and deny these things. You know, we always do a lot in our power, especially when we're young, to sort of deny that we're experiencing a bout of sadness, or we're feeling lost, or we're feeling angry at something, you know. And that's when we turn to drugs, alcohol, sex, being a workaholic, whatever it may be, whatever your drug of choice is, right? And that's actually what the Devil card is talking about to me. It's about avoiding feeling our feelings, right? And that's also has a lot to do about Capricorns and Capricorn's unique message and the unique lesson they are here to learn, right? Now, granted, even though Capricorns are certainly embody this sort of like human being or soul being, what am I saying, guys? Certainly Capricorns are here to sort of teach us about being a soul in a human body. There we go. But does that mean that all Capricorns are the best at acknowledging their feelings and, you know, bowing to the feelings in their hearts? I mean, no, not so much. I'll talk about in a second. Of course, I love you, Capricorns. Don't think I'm saying that you suck, because I'm not at all. In fact, I'll tell you that I just bought a candle with Capricorn energy in it that my boss made, and she infuses it with like Capricorn, like ambition, patience, I forget what the other keywords she thinks of, but I'm burning that candle like every day because I'm trying to embody who you are. I need to be more Capricornian. Is that a word? How many words have I made up so far in this podcast? Let me know. Tweet me. But if we remember, Capricorns, because they're ruled by Saturn, and Saturn is the taskmaster. Also, if you're, again, a first-time listener, you don't know a lot about Saturn, I made a whole episode about Saturn and how Saturn teaches us our hardest lessons. So the fact that Capricorn is ruled by Saturn, they actually have the potential to work with Saturn in, like, the most productive way, right? And Capricorns and Saturn are meant to teach us about, you know, the trials and tribulations of being human, being a soul in a human body. And obviously, because they're here to teach us that lesson, Capricorns are actually going to have to learn that lesson, right? Because we can't teach something without learning it first, right? So that actually will be the hardest lesson for some Capricorns to learn, to actually learn to feel their feelings and not sink into sort of a devil card sort of attitude towards their feelings, where they're avoiding being human, right? They're avoiding their soul's true work, or they're avoiding their true feelings, like I said. Now, hopefully that's a good enough overview of what Capricorn energy means for the collective. I kind of want to go into, like, what it actually means to have your sun in Capricorn, and as always, also going to review, like, Capricorn rising, Capricorn moon, Capricorn Venus, and Capricorn Mars and Mercury. So if you are a Capricorn sun, listen to what I have to say about you, but also know that you may resonate with the stuff I'm saying about the rising, the moon, the Venus, the whole shebang you may resonate with. So, and also, even though I'm such a water sign, I actually have my Venus in Capricorn. So I kind of do know your energy on a romantic level, which is really interesting, but I'll talk about that in a second. Let's jump into sun in Capricorn. What does it mean to have your sun in Capricorn? I think it's interesting that according to the Golden Dawn, the Four of Pentacles card in the tarot, it represents the sun in Capricorn, and the Golden Dawn titles that card the Lord of Material Power. And actually, that's sort of what Capricorn suns, they want to master, you know, material power. They're mastering the material realm. Now, it's easy to say that's all about money, that's all about business, but it's not. There's more to material than just money and business, right? And like I said, Saturn, you know, rules Capricorn. But also, it's important to understand, when you're a Capricorn sun, guess who's at your opposite? Cancer, you know what I mean? And Cancer is ruled by the moon. Could there be any more opposite energies than the moon and Saturn? Probably not. But here's what they both have in common. Do you know, the moon and Saturn both have in common, they're teaching humanity about the cycles, right? It's kind of like what I said my poem was saying, humans wax and wane like the moon. I'm ruled by the moon, you know, I have a Cancer ascendant, so I know how powerful it is to sort of work with the natural cycles of nature. And Saturn, I think I said this in my Saturn episode, but the actual symbol of Saturn is, I want to say it's Thor's hammer, but it's not. That's the rune. One of the runes means Thor's hammer, but it's actually Zeus's sickle, right? Zeus's sickle? Yeah. It's, we'll just say it's God's sickle. And what is a sickle? It's a sort of like long, sharp bow kind of thing that's used to cut down crops. And that's what Saturn does to us, right? It sort of cuts down all of the baggage in our lives. And that's sort of the energy that Capricorn sun is working with constantly. Now, I tend to say, if I'm oversimplifying Capricorn to someone, a mortal or a muggle, I usually just say that Capricorns are the CEO of the zodiac, which I believe, which I think are true. But they're also kind of like Scorpios, in the way that I think Scorpios do have to choose between using their deep empathic powers for good or evil. And I think Capricorn also kind of has to make a choice between good or evil. Like, because they are these lords of material power, are they going to use this power over the material realm? Are they going to use it for good or evil? And I think when we're talking about Capricorn powers, what are the powers of the Capricorn sun? Well, they're extremely determined. They have incredible drive. They will not quit until they get what they want. Right now I'm sort of having a flashback to high school English class, as I do a lot of the times when I'm talking about astrology. And I'm thinking about, if you've ever read the myth of Sisyphus, which is sort of the myth of this man, Sisyphus, and he's sort of pushing up this huge circular rock up this mountain. And the point of the story is that he's always pushing up the rock, and once he gets to the top of the mountain, the rock just rolls back down because it's like a circle, it's a spear. And then he has to do it all over again, and his whole life he's just pushing up this rock up and down the mountain. And that sort of relates to the Capricornian goat, sort of. Like, if you think of what a goat does as an animal, they sort of, like, they're very, they're just very ambitious animals, in a sense. Like, they can walk up the rockiest mountains and not fall. And that's what's beautiful about Capricorns, and that's what's beautiful about the way Capricorns pursue their ambitions. Now, like I was starting to say about how Capricorns are at the opposite of Cancer on the zodiac wheel, well, what do Capricorns and Cancers have in common? Well, I think they both do have a shell that's very hard to crack. That's kind of like my main similarity that I see between the two. Now, what does Capricorn have to learn from Cancer? Well, that has a lot to do with expressing emotion, right? And I wouldn't be surprised if most Capricorns have their hardest time of the year during Cancer season, because during Cancer season, they're going to sort of be faced with emotions that they don't want to deal with. And that's sort of the lesson they're sort of learning from Cancer. Also, it's important to note that I definitely said this in the last episode. You know, Capricorn ruled by Saturn, Capricorn is daddy, and then Cancer ruled by the moon is mommy. So it's sort of like the dichotomy between this fatherly, motherly energy, and how do they interact? So that's Capricorn sun for ya. Capricorn rising. I think, you know, just to review, I think rising, Capricorn rising, it's about people seeing you as a leader, right? So if you've ever had to do like a group project or sort of work together with others, it's kind of like, I feel like people just naturally look towards you and look towards you as a leader, and you're sort of naturally looking at yourself like a leader too. Like, you may even very well volunteer to sort of take over a group project and you're sort of like, no, I'll lead things, you do this, I'll do that, you do the other thing. That's just a very natural role for you. You're also very, I think you mostly want to work for yourself. That's the thing, because you are a leader. I think actually Capricorn risings do end up wanting to work for themselves. They want to start their own business. They just have their own ambitions, and they have their own drive. They have their own to-do list, and they know what that is, and they're just constantly doing it. And that's why they do well when they work for themselves. People may also find you a little bit intimidating, and that's not necessarily in the way that they think you are a bitch or mean or whatever, but they certainly, you have a way of carrying yourself that's very like, I'm here and I'm fabulous, and that may intimidate others. And you also have a sort of demeanor that's sort of like, let's get down to business, that, you know, could make people feel like that you're cold or maybe not necessarily the friendliest person ever. Of course, this isn't all Capricorn risings on the planet. This is just sort of an overview of what I felt about the energy. but I also feel like being cold is sort of an unfair stereotype assigned to Capricorns. And I think any sign really has the potential to come off as cold, sort of depending on what kind of mood they're in. So take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. But I also wouldn't be surprised, like, if you're a Capricorn rising, you know, you most likely have some kind of role as a teacher, educator, instructor, director, boss, entrepreneur, anything like that. That's definitely your role. And if you're scared of that, you should reassess that. Because I really do think you have that energy in you. Now, let's move on to Capricorn Moon. So the moon is at its detriment in Capricorn. Well, what does that actually mean in human terms? Well, it means that the moon is least comfortable in the sign of Capricorn, right? And the planet that Capricorn likes to be in the least is the moon, if that makes sense. Well, why is that? I kind of sort of touched on this when I was talking about the dichotomy between, you know, Cancer and Capricorn. But, you know, I said the moon is ruled by Cancer and, you know, Cancer is the opposite sign of Capricorn. Now, does this mean that you are doomed if you have a Capricorn moon? Absolutely not. I'm not saying that at all. But the moon in Capricorns, you know, they tend to deal with their emotions sort of like annoying business partners in a sense. Moon in Capricorns are most likely to sort of schedule their mental breakdowns in a way. If there isn't any time to schedule or process their emotions in a day, maybe they have a lot of work to do, they have a lot of goals to achieve, they're feeling sad, they're feeling depressed, they have no time to actually feel sad or depressed or feel their feelings, they might just ignore that. They might just put it on the back burner, and that's where they get themselves in trouble, when they're putting their feelings on the back burner. Now, to give you guys a real life example, I was actually, you know, it's just the holiday season, so of course I was watching The Holiday, the Christmas classic, The Holiday. It is starring Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet, and if you've never seen this movie, it's arguably the best Christmas rom-com ever, so, you know, please watch it ASAP before the holiday season is completely over. But anyways, I feel like the character who Cameron Diaz plays is very moon in Capricorn in a sense, because, you know, Cameron Diaz, she's a workaholic. We kind of see her working herself to the bone, especially in the beginning of the movie, and she sort of makes no time for her boyfriend that she lives with, and she's suspecting her boyfriend's cheating on her, but she sort of puts it on the back burner until everything, you know, blows up in her face, right? And I think she's subconsciously and consciously, she's making no time to actually feel her emotions, right? And then suddenly her marriage is crumbling. She's kicking her, you know, boyfriend out of the house. She finds out he cheated on her, and she's having this like complete emotional breakdown. And the only way she can deal with it is actually sort of taking a vacation and, quote unquote, getting away from it all. And she ends up renting this house or this cottage in England, and la-di-da-di-da, you get the point. So the point being is that Capricorn's moon, there's a sense that they only can deal with their emotions when they're sort of at a point of crisis, when, you know, they've had their emotions on the back burner for so long, it finally starts boiling over, and then it disrupts their whole life. This is different from, you know, just kind of bottling up emotions, letting them blow up one day. Like, this is deeper than that. Like, I think out of all the signs, Capricorns have the most potential to sort of, like, almost put their emotions on the back burner to the point when they have to deal with it. It's such a majorly big deal. Like, they can't even, like, continue with their lives anymore. It's not just, like, a one-day blow-up, we're over, it's over, deal with the emotions, okay, sorry I didn't deal with that sooner, check. No, this is sort of, like, Capricorn moons need to, like, now go on a retreat or go to rehab or, like, something like that, that they have to go far, far away to deal with their emotions because they don't make time for their emotions in their real daily lives. And that's sort of the challenge with having a Capricorn moon. Now, I'm not saying all Capricorn moons do that. I'm not, like, in any way talking smack about you if you have a Capricorn moon. Again, I'm just giving you my interpretation of Capricorn moon as a student. So, I think, as I said, Capricorn moons would be very likely to go on sort of a retreat, do sort of a once-a-year detox to sort of deal with their tough emotions instead of dealing with them little by little as the year goes on. So, I think the main challenge with Capricorn moons, and maybe even Capricorn suns, we have to feel our feelings, not deny them. You know, if we deny our true feelings and continue to ignore them, it can affect both our physical and mental health. Now, okay, I wrote down here, I said, be careful, especially if your moon is in Capricorn in the sixth house. So maybe this is just for a select few of you, but if your sixth house is ruled by Capricorn, or you have your moon in Capricorn in the sixth house, you may have the tendency to, like, literally work yourself to the bone until you're feeling, like, ill and you have to be checked into the hospital, or, you know, you're forced to be stop working by some sort of physical defect. So be careful with that, Capricorn moons. Take care of yourself. 2019, you know, maybe it's your year to start dealing with your emotions on smaller scales. You know, maybe you don't have to wait until that huge breakdown, like that huge tower moment. You know, maybe you can start dealing with things in lighter batches. And I'm not saying that taking a retreat or something like that isn't good for you, because it is, but, you know, think about it, guys. And also, I don't know everything, right? I'm not an astrology expert. I'm just a student. I'm also not an expert on life. I haven't lived through everything. But this is just kind of my general feelings. So, Capricorn Mercury. I would just say Capricorn Mercury is kind of simpler to me. It's just time is money. You know, they're direct communicators. They're going to say things very directly. If Capricorn Mercury feels like you're wasting their time in some way, they're going to tell you. And also, Capricorn Mercury's, they're the type of friend, they're not going to sugarcoat things when you ask for advice. They're not necessarily critical like a Virgo, but it's sort of like if you say, like, something like, oh, I really want to lose weight, I'm struggling so much. They're going to be like, yo, dude, like, you want to lose weight? Well, why are we going to Taco Bell 3 times a week? Like, are you serious? Like, they're going to, like, actually put it in your face. Like, dude, are you serious? Like, you're saying you want to do this shit, but look at your behavior. They're really going to bring things to the surface for you. They're not the kind of people who are going to give you that, like, buttered up feeling at the end of the day. Not saying that they can't be loving, they can't be great friends, because they can be great friends. And if you really feel like, you know, you need a kick in the pants in some area of your life, you may want to, you know, ask a Capricorn Mercury. That brings me to Capricorn Venus. Like I said, I actually do have my Venus in Capricorn. This is something I struggle with in my chart, because I really truly do see love as a business venture. I see love and relationships as an investment. And sort of when my relationships don't work out, I see it as a loss of investment, which sounds really, like, bad and cold-hearted, but it's kind of true, like, how I see things. Like, and, like, if you ever have taken an economic class, like, you know, we learn that, you know, on Earth we have limited resources and there's no such thing as a free lunch. So, like, when I'm investing my time in someone, I'm seeing that as sort of, I'm investing my limited resources in someone. You know, I'm giving them time, and if I invest my time in someone where it could have been invested somewhere else, that pisses me off. And that can actually make it really hard for me, not necessarily to get over relationships, but I have a hard time forgiving myself, actually, when a relationship ends, because I tend to get into a sort of mindset where I feel like a failed businesswoman. Like, I'm sort of like, oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I take on that business venture, quote unquote? Like, why did I buy that stock just to see it plummet? Why did I, you know, make that poor business decision? Look how much time and money I threw away. And I really do see some of my past relationships like that. And it's a challenge for me. And I really need to shift my perspective because it actually holds me back and it creates blockages around my heart chakra. So I don't know if I'm the only Capricorn Venus that feels this way. Like, maybe I am really the only Capricorn Venus in Capricorn that treats love as their business. And, you know, first date is like an interview. But I really just want to know that I'm investing my time properly in a person, and I want to know my investment is going to pay off. And that's my challenge. What kind of person do I actually need? I think I just need a trustworthy business partner. I need to know someone who reassures me that I'm making the right investment, and someone who shows me that my investment is paying off, because, you know, there's an equal balance of give and take. So that's kind of my take on Capricorn Venus. I was sort of forced there to sort of call myself out on my own unhealthy habits in love, but nevertheless, Capricorn Mars. Actually, I thought I found it interesting that the Three of Pentacles card in the tarot is actually ruled by Capricorn Mars, and we call the Capricorn Mars Three of Pentacles, we call it the Lord of Material Works. So I think, you know, if we remember, Mars is about how we move about the world, how we work with others. It's traditionally the placement of sex and war, but what does that actually mean in 2018, 2019? Well, that actually means how we move about the world. So Capricorn Mars, they're going to be really good at collaborating on group projects. Networking comes naturally to them. You know, if you want to start your own business and you tell your Capricorn friend or your Capricorn Mars friend, you know, they're going to say, hey, you know what? I have a contact for you. I have a friend that could help you. Let me connect them with you. You know what I mean? But here's the thing. Here's what we have to be careful of with Capricorn and Capricorn Mars. You know, remember, Mars, again, is how we move about through the world. So if a Capricorn Mars, you know, has a goal in mind, there's really nothing stopping them. You know what I mean? Like, they are the goat that is climbing up the mountain. And I don't care if it's Mount Everest. You know what? They're going to reach the top no matter what. So if a Capricorn Mars really has their eye on a certain prize, you know, let's say they are shooting a bow and arrow and their goal is to hit the bullseye, you know, they will keep practicing and aiming until they have reached that goal of shooting the bullseye, you know, which is wonderful. You know, however, they got to be careful of who they shoot with the arrow in the process. And they kind of have to be careful about, I don't want to say selfish tendencies, because I think we have such a bad connotation of the word selfish, when I actually think we need to put ourselves and our self-love first. But when we're reaching our goals and we don't care who we're hurting in the process, that's sort of what we have to be careful of, especially with that Capricorn Mars placement. So I think that's all I have to say right now about the Capricorn energy. I wish you all a wonderful Capricorn season. I really think that the collective energy is going to have a huge shift once that January 1st, January 2nd, that first week of January, the astrology, especially because Mars is moving out of Pisces and into its ruler, Aries. I think that, like, kind of in the muck feeling, that lost feeling, that feeling where we're kind of confused where to go next. We have all these goals. We don't know how to put them into action. January 1st, when Mars moves into Aries, I feel like that is going to be such a weight off of the collective shoulder. So look out for that. What else is going on with Horoscope Witch? Oh, it is, I'm lighting my Capricorn candle, as I said, so it is my new goal. In January, I am putting out an episode once per week, so you are going to be hearing more from me, so I hope you don't get too annoyed with me. But I think on my schedule, after this episode, we're going to then be doing the second Women Who Run With the Wolves episode. That's chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7, I think we're going to be covering. So keep an eye out for that. That is the next episode. After that episode, we're going to be covering So You Want to Be a Witch, Witch 101. It's sort of like an interest meeting for my friends who are listening, who are sort of interested in witchcraft. They don't know how to start. They don't know what it means to be a witch. They're confused. Do they have to join, you know, a coven? Do they have to be a Wiccan? Or can I be a different kind of witch? We're going to be talking all about being a witch, getting started being a witch. What does it actually mean? And then after that episode, my last episode of January is going to be our Aquarius episode. So our Aquarius special is coming last. And this year I'm also planning a lot more. My goal is to have more collaborations on this podcast, to make more podcasts. My whole vision for this podcast is to eventually get a sponsor. So I really think I really have a good feeling about this podcast. And if you connected with me on Instagram or on Twitter, thank you so much. I honestly genuinely have made a couple friends through this podcast, which I think is so amazing. And thank you so much. Never be shy about reaching out to me. I'm always down to talk about anything. It doesn't have to be astrology, tarot, anything like that. If we just want to talk about whatever, DM me. Let's talk. Let's chat. Let me know on Instagram if you have anything you want to see from me. Our next book club is going to be on the book called The Ethical Slut, but we'll get into that later. First, we got to finish Women Who Run With the Wolves, and it's definitely not too late to join that book club. So if you want to get on that bandwagon, again, you don't have to have the book, you don't have to read the book to listen to the episode. I think you'll still really get something out of it, so keep an eye out for that. And if you made it through the whole episode, I really, really send you light, send you gratitude. Thank you so much. I am genuinely happy we are vibrating on the same frequency and you have somehow found this podcast. And I will see you guys next time. Have a wonderful new year and happy new year. Thanks so much.